So that was the song Safer Space by Forever Emerald.
Yeah.
And we are really, really, really stoked because Devin came on with us for a really good talk this week.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We had so much fun. We stopped the recording and then we accidentally kept talking. We didn't stop the recording. She got off the call and then you and I kept talking.
We were talking right after. I didn't realize we had recorded that.
Me either until I was editing it. It was actually really cute. Really awkward. Really cute.
We fangirled a little.
We were like, I just love her so much. She's us. She's just like us.
She's so fun. And she's very funny. And I very much enjoyed her.
Yeah. No, I'd love to have her on again at some point. Maybe when they release new music or if she wants to come on as a guest host, which we talked about.
I just want to go ahead and say... I currently have two different wine glasses.
Holy shit.
Well, it's not as weird as it looks.
You have Bloody Mary in one of them.
This one has a Bloody Mary in it, and this one's water. We had to do dishes today. Well, Jason did dishes today. And the dishwasher, I had to stop from running right just now before we started recording because our dishwasher is really loud. And I didn't want it to... bother the mic. Also, I have
not the audience.
I have vocal fry really bad, so I'm gonna apologize for that too.
I do too, because I just did a presentation.
And honestly, the Bloody Mary is probably not helping. It also has a moonshine pickle in it because I saw the moonshine pickles and I needed pickles for my Bloody Mary. So, like, I wasn't gonna go somewhere else to get pickles. That would be insane. So I bought moonshine pickles instead.
Well,
worth it. And now I have, moonshine pickles in my fridge. I only used one, but that Bloody Mary mix is only gonna last like maybe 3 glasses of this.
Well, the pickles are a gift that keep on giving.
Yeah, I'll just have to get more Bloody Mary mix. We have plenty of vodka. We have like, I had contemplated getting it on the way home, like the Bloody Mary mix. But I was like, no, then I'll have to buy vodka because I don't think we have regular vodka at home. And so I just like went home, whatever. And then I looked in the pantry and there's like, first of all, there's a 0.5 gallon. I mean, it's almost empty. Like we made jungle juice with it. So there's like maybe 1/3 of it left, but it's a 0.5 gallon. So that's like a lot still. And then there's like 2 other 1/5s. That are like half full. And then there is a bottle, like a half full bottle of strawberry vodka in there. Because it's good with Sprite. And then I think there was another bottle of some other kind of vodka in there. I don't know why we keep buying vodka because we don't need it. We need to use what we have in the cabinet.
That's a lot of vodka, man. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, well, okay. I think what happens is... Because I don't buy vodka, ever. Like, unless we're making jungle juice, I don't buy it. Because I won't drink it unless I'm making a Bloody Mary. And I don't do that very often, which is why I didn't have the mix in the house. Because I drink, like, if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink whiskey or gin. Like, if I'm going to, like, drink. Otherwise, I'm just drinking beer.
Yeah, vodka makes me feel terrible.
Yeah, it's good for, like, a Bloody Mary nightcap. I think that's the only thing I really like vodka in. Everything else is disgusting. Except for that strawberry vodka. It's real good with some Sprite.
I've had marshmallow vodka and hot chocolate before.
Ooh, no, hot chocolate. And they have rum chata. It's that. It's like milky, but it's rum. It's like cinnamon sugar. It's so good. Like, you have to try it. It's my favorite winter drink.
I'm sorry, is this a music podcast or is it a drink podcast?
Listen, I just...
We've diverged.
We super diverged. But
we haven't even introduced ourselves yet. On camera?
No, I clapped.
Oh, gotcha.
I went and clapped at the same time, so it might have sounded like a burp, especially with my vocal fry. I don't know, maybe I did. Maybe I did and I didn't notice. Who knows? It's a wild night. It's Tuesday and I'm drinking a Bloody Mary. So whatever.
Wild.
That's what constitutes as wild now. Anyway, this is I'm Not Okay podcast. I'm Stormy.
I'm Elena. We are old people, as we've now established.
I don't drink ever. Like, if I drink, it's going to be on the weekend and it's probably not going to be very much except for like special occasions.
I was impressed. We didn't drink at all when I came to visit you.
No, but Whitney's pregnant.
We had one beer. I mean, yeah, we weren't going to go crazy, but we did have a beer
at the concert. Yeah.
We split a beer.
Well, that was mostly because I was poor. Like, I probably would have bought more with you if we weren't poor. But you were also driving, yeah. So, like, I guess Jason could have driven.
Yeah, I would have trusted him with the car.
Yeah, he'd be fine.
Although, I don't know. After he almost got us kicked out with security, I don't know if I would
have trusted him
with
the car. Listen, that was one thing. He's usually responsible. I didn't realize he still had his knife.
All right, so because we've got such a lengthy interview this week, we're just going to go ahead and cover our socials right now. We'll let Devin see us out. So if you like what you hear today, you can follow us at I'm Not Okay Pod on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Not Okay I Podcast on Facebook. If you want to join our group, it is I'm Not Okay I Podcast Group. And should you want to shoot us an email, you can get us at imnotokaypod@gmail.com. Did I do that correctly?
You did. Look at you
go. I stuttered once, but I told you I was in presentation mode.
You are. You were on it.
I did my presentation on weight nose syndrome, and now I'm good to go.
Usually she'll, like, start, like, twice and be like, ugh, and then I'll just do it. Because, like, once I hit the right...
You have a rhythm.
...level, I can just do the whole thing. I'm like a YouTuber signing on.
Yeah. No, you have a real rhythm to it.
But, like... Last week, it was me. I couldn't say it for anything. It would not come out of my mouth. I had to say it like 4 times.
It happens, man. This is the hardest part about doing the podcast is that right there.
Oh, but I do have some new music, too.
Cool. Let's go over the new music.
Okay. Well, first of all, thought I caught a gnat. Sorry. They drive me nuts. And they're like getting in the house now because it's winter and like actually winter. It's cold outside. Anyway, so we'll start with Halsey's new song. She actually released 2 songs this week. One is finally Beautiful Stranger. And the other one is Suga's Interlude, which is Minsuga from BTS. I'm going to fucking Karate Kid this nap before this recording's over. Anyway, both of them are phenomenal. I love it. I do have one thing that's been very irritating about this song to me. I've seen a lot of people that are in BTS ARMY saying something about how they don't like Halsey or other stuff like that. And not very many, just a few. And it's been so irritating because I saw one girl had said, I usually don't like Halsey because she just gives me a bad vibe. But first of all, how does Halsey give you a bad vibe? She's like the nicest person in the whole world.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Doesn't make any sense. But another thing is she said, but like her voice was just made for this song. Yeah, it's her fucking song. Like, you can love BTS all you want. I love BTS. Obviously, I have a problem, but it's her song. There are other artists in the world that are doing good things, and that is what ARMY needs to learn. And y'all aren't doing a very good job if you're not also supporting the artists that also love BTS and BTS loves them. So that's my spiel, and I'm done with it.
Hold on, I looked into that a little bit, and I can't remember what the actual accusation is. Essentially, they were calling her racist. I could not find any backing on that.
No, because she's not.
Maybe it was xenophobic. I feel like that word would have been big for whoever was using it, though.
I don't understand how that makes any sense, though.
I don't either, because she's done so much collaborating. I guess that I don't want to say somebody can't be xenophobic because they've worked with people outside of the country, because who knows? Maybe she said something shitty, but I don't think she has.
I doubt it. I could not find
anything to back that. If somebody wants to email
me,
and
like, she teases them a lot on Twitter, like, just because, I mean,
they're friends.
Like, yeah, they're friends. And so they tease each other a lot. Hobie literally makes, like, he makes fun of her on stage when they do the song that they did with her. Like, he does, like, a little bit of her dance part and, like, essentially rips on her. And, like, just teasing her, obviously. And so, Anyway, so she's like, she like gives him shit, like, fucking Hoso games on me all the time. Just like, you know, whatever. It's just,
yeah,
it's dumb, playful stuff.
I give you shit all the time.
Exactly. That's what friends do. But it's never been in a racist way.
No.
It's never been like that. Yeah. It's always just been like inside.
Oh, I thought you were
like,
talking about us for a second. I was like, no, how could them. It be?
No, between them. It's never been in like a racist way. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway. Moving on. Mayday Parade released a song called I'm With You. And it's a Christmas song and it's very cute.
It's very sweet.
Harry Styles released another single called Adore You. It was a very, very One Direction week because Niall Horan released another single called Put a Little Love on Me. And then Liam Payne released an album called LP1. A whole album. I think that's his first album since One Direction. I could be mistaken.
I would not know.
But I'm pretty sure he's only put out like singles. So I think it's his first full album. He might have put out an EP. I can't remember. But I know Zayn put out an album, Harry put out an album, and Niall put out an album. But I don't think that Liam ever did. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to pod favorite, The Carolyn, because they released a new album this week. It's called This Will Begin to Make Things Right. And if you haven't listened to it yet, go do it right now. Like,
you better, because we've been talking about this for months now.
Like, right, either pause this, listen to it, and then come back to this because you won't want to miss this interview. Or listen to it right after the interview. If you're not too obsessed with Forever Emerald, that is, because they're awesome too.
Hard to break away from.
Yeah. Finding September released a song called Fool's Gold that I really liked. Headspace released a song called Moonstruck that's really good. I got lost. Oh, The Used released a song called
Lomi. I was going to say, you better not skip that one.
I lost my spot for a second, couldn't remember where it was. Oh, there's another one that I want you guys to check out. It's called Nova Charisma. And they released an EP called Exposition 2, like Roman numeral 2. And it's very good. And there are more. But we'll put those up on our Spotify playlist.
No love for Anti-Flag this week?
I didn't write down Anti-Flag. I think I put it on my playlist, though.
They released a single called Unbreakable. Sorry, I can't skip Anti-Flag.
No, that one was really, really, really punk.
Yeah.
I was not, because like, I don't feel like the last one was that.
Wasn't as, but Anti-Flag is pretty true to their roots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They never like have gotten too far away from punk, but this one was like really punk. Like it hit and I was like, oh, we're doing it. Okay.
Oh, I love that.
It was good though.
All right, man. Then that's it, I guess. Let's talk to Devin. I am aware that I seem like I don't care, but trust me, I am consumed by all you do. I'm critical and I'm cynical. You're the cure to my disdain. I might be livid, but I'm still listening to you, cause your words carry weight. I'm hoping you'll take me to a safer space. So hey guys, we're here with Devin of Forever Emerald. They're a pop rock band based out of Los Angeles, California, and they just released their EP, Safer Space, this past summer. So if you haven't given them a listen already, do yourself a favor and get on it. Hi, Devin.
Hello. Thank you for the plug. I appreciate it. Ooh. Yeah, Safer Space came out. So this is a good segue to what we were talking about before we started recording. So July 19th is when Safer Space came out. A year before that, on July 19th, I was chosen to sing with Paramore on stage. So that date has actually become quite significant now. I didn't even plan that. It just happened that way.
Amazing.
But yeah, it was the last time they toured. It was tour 5 for the After Laughter era. Shout out to my boyfriend, Connor, because basically what happened was we went to the LA date. I bought him a ticket literally because he is tall and I wanted them to see my sign. So they used to do this every show. Every time they play Misery Business, once it got to the bridge, they'd slow down, give a whole introductory thing, and they'd pick someone from the crowd to come and sing with them. That's always been a thing. They've done it every show. My headphone fell out. Or, like, I don't even know how long. I'm going to probably have to look it up after this. But they've been doing it forever. Because that song, I mean, how many times have they played it? It was probably just, like, we played this a bajillion times. You guys should probably sing it with us. But I've known that. I've been practicing since I was 12 in the shower. And I've never, I barely, any show I've been to of theirs was, like, close enough besides when I saw them at Kimmel. So I brought my boyfriend to the Forum and bought him a ticket and made my, I took work off to make a sign. And he's like 6'2". So he basically, from the minute they started playing the song, yeah, I think even before, he like forced me to get up there multiple times, even though I didn't even want to. And he would hold me up on his chest with my sign. And my sign said, I would good die young to sing Misery Business, because I love her hair dye line. Good Die Young is all I use in my hair. I think it's a great brand. So that's what happened. And they didn't pick me in, but I know they saw my sign because they kept looking at me. And so I actually ended up going the next day with my mom in San Diego, and they picked me there, and they were like, they probably had it pre-picked out because I tweeted at them that I was coming and I had the same sign. My hair is still green. It's a whole thing. So yeah, it was awesome. Best day of my life, hands down. I performed my little heart out, and she definitely like said something about like, I thought she was coming for my job for a second. Or, like, she could have taken my place. Like, and everyone, I guess, thought I was a plant. Because I knew the choreography. Like, I knew what she was going to do. I've been practicing. Right. So it was a really cool experience. So, yeah, every time I go to shows, like, before anyone's like, oh, are you in Forever Emerald? They're like, didn't you sing with Paramore? And it's like, do I say yes or do I plug my band? Like, what do I do in this situation? You know what I mean?
Both.
Yeah, it's, like, the proudest moment of my life. But then it's really hard to break away from that, you sound like Paramore narrative when, yeah.
Which is, nice to say that, yeah, this came up because I made a bad joke about Paramore having to be one of your influences or something.
Yeah, just like any girl band. Like, even if any band with, like, a female fronted vocalist, they always think, Paramore, because they're not creative enough to think outside of the box. Because there's so many awesome bands with lady members, not just, like, fronted, but instrumentalists.
Oh, and it's just wild that they're
still thinking. Yeah, it's crazy that people still go to that. But I guess, like, it's getting more and more accepting with bands like Dollskin coming up. And, like, Tonight Alive has been taking a little hiatus, but I think they're coming back. And Paris is huge now. Like, they opened for 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, yeah.
Some great bands. Mom Jeans. They're in, some of the members of Mom Jeans are in another band called Just Friends. And their singer is amazing. I forget her name, but she's insane. There's just a lot of good energy out there right now. Chase Petra, The Regrets, It's Butter, just to name like some locals that are killing it. Like,
God, you're hitting all of my points already.
Sorry. Sorry. I'm shouting out the locals, man.
No, I'm going to ask you to do that.
Good. Well, I'll do it again. I'll name like all the bands my bandmates want to, since they're like not here right now. Cause awesome. I forgot
That's
a couple.
One of our favorite things to do on here. Cause, we talked to so many like up and coming artists, and I think it's awesome just kind of discuss like the local scenes and who people can check out that they wouldn't normally.
Absolutely. Oh my God. I mean, so many shows like I have thrown personally for the band over the last year where it's like I hit up a band to play our show and they can't, and they suggest another band. And then I discover a band that I really, really like. And then I actually listen to them religiously. It's funny.
Yeah. It's amazing how much is actually out there.
Oh, yeah. That you wouldn't know because you're only following certain people and then you're in the same groups. And it's just like, it's rough. But I love, that's why social media is good and bad, I think.
It's a little overwhelming at times.
It's a little toxic, but lots of new friends.
No, I've found a lot of great bands through social media. On that topic, can you just tell us a little bit about your favorite bands of all time? I mean, obviously Paramore being one of them.
Yeah, so Paramore is, like, number one exemption. Like, I try not to talk about it because it's just cringy. But definitely Yumi at Six is probably my second. Just, like, I'm talking bands where, like, I love their whole discography and, like, love them as musicians. Yumi at Six are awesome. I wish they did more in the U.S., but the U.S. doesn't appreciate them the way they deserve. So, therefore, they are, like, strictly Europe. Yeah, it's rough. But Dance Gavin Dance. Love Dance Gavin Dance so much. Constantly listening to them. Issues, I've seen them 20 times. Amazing musicians, super great band. That's like top bands. That's probably it. I mean, I love A Day to Remember. I think they have a great discography. Let Live was a really good band, but these are like not top favorites. These are just honorable mentions. I love The Fray, to be honest. That might be one of my favorite bands.
Good, yeah.
So good. But yeah, not to like get too, I could just go off because I love music, but those are like.
No, we do too. That's what we're here for.
Paramore, You, Me at Six, Dance, Gavin, Dance, Issues, I'm going to say are my top.
So were you more of like a pop punk kid than the emo kind of variety?
I was definitely like a screamo kid first. Like, so I discovered Paramore. I always say there was like the first three for me, which was Paramore, Panic at the Disco, and Never Shout Never, oddly enough.
Oh, I met like him the first once. Bands.
I met him once as well.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. I met him twice, I think, actually. I think that's like how you enter into being a scene kid is you have to meet Christopher Drew at one point.
You have to meet Christopher Drew.
It's so funny you bring that up because I literally posted a picture with him from 2013 last night just because that was reminiscing.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. I'll have to send that, but so yeah, those were my first three, and it was funny because like I discovered Paramore actually because I was on Facebook and I did like which celebrity are you the most like quiz. I was like I want to say the sixth grade, and because this is before I moved, so it was the sixth grade, and I got Hayley Williams and I was like, oh, who's this? And my former babysitter was like, oh, you should check out Paramore. I think you'd really like them. And I like, I think I tried and I didn't really pay attention. And then I actually became friends with this girl, Katie, and she got me into Paramore. And so that was like when I really got into them. And then I got, did you ever use the playlist.com website? Playlist.com?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's really where I discovered music, which is weird because I feel like no one knows what that is anymore. Random streaming service. So I didn't really have a concept of like albums at all until I was older. Because I would listen to everything on playlists, and it doesn't really have albums. It's just tracks, like really low quality MP3s, and you just add them to a playlist. So it was that and Panic. And then Sleeping with Sirens got me into like heavier music. And I was like super really into metalcore. Like it was mostly like Sleeping with Sirens, Of Mice and Men, Pierce the Veil, Memphis Mayfire, Let Live, 30 Seconds to Mars. And then I got into like Tonight Alive and Mayday Parade. But I was really into the screamo. Like I was super angry freshman year through like, and then I got into pop punk a little later.
I think it was like so well. Yeah. Sorry.
And it's funny when I talk about music to like my friends who don't really like who I'm like newer friends with, they're like, why aren't you in like a screamo band? Because like I'm so into that music. I think pop punk, and don't get me wrong, any kind of music can become this way. I think it becomes regurgitated and kind of redone. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a way to tastefully do it, but lately I've not been very interested in it. I've been really into like poppy stuff, like the band Camino and like lately. But like, yeah, that's kind of where I started. And then I think it was State Champs, like The Finer Things and The Story So Far, What You Don't See. Those albums really got me into pop punk, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear that a lot with State Champs.
Like Finer Things dropped and I was like, everyone was talking about it. And so I checked it out. I didn't end up seeing them for so long because it just didn't line up with my schedule. But I love them. A lot. Yeah. I have a deep, like, I don't really go see them as much anymore because I've seen them so many times now that over the last, like, 5 or 6 years that is just exhausting almost because I can't keep up with these kids. I can't keep up with these kids anymore. Like, I used to be going crazy at shows. Like, I think I'm actually going to go to Boston Manor tonight. I just impulse bought a ticket because I really loved that album that they just put out. So,
yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Well, how old are you?
I just turned 21. A little over a month ago. So October 23rd. Yeah, all of our band are 21 except for our drummer Gio. Sorry, we're all babies.
You're talking about being old.
I can't keep up with these kids and I'm in the back. I'm 27 years old. I'm in the back literally like, yeah, what's going on? But I'm not going down there. That's terrifying.
No, yeah. I just like, I was that kid that went to like 3 or 4 shows a month and I was crowd surfing and I was moshing and I would be like, dude, look at my bruise, you know, like. I was so stoked on it. Yeah. I thought I was so tough. And now I'm like winded after one pit. I'm like, oh, someone hit me.
Yeah.
Like I work early tomorrow. Ugh. I actually do work early tomorrow. And I didn't think that through before buying that ticket. It's fine.
You're young. You'll get through it.
It's fine. I work at Starbucks. It's free coffee.
Worth it.
I'm not that much older than you. And I am like a strict, like in bed by 10 kind of person. So don't listen to me.
Normally I am. It's just like, I really love this album, man. I don't want to miss out again.
No, hey, don't. Well, I think it's worth
the lack of sleep just to have the experience, I think.
I don't go to shows anymore, to be honest. Right. Like, it's so rare nowadays that I go to a show that we're not playing because mm-hmm. we've just been grinding for, like, a little over a year now. And it's just kind of wild because, like, I used to go to shows so often and I feel like I barely get to go see actual live music with production. It's crazy. Well,
here's my thing is you work at Starbucks. You can caffeinate yourself tomorrow.
It's so true. That's what I used to do. I used to work at like a smoothie / coffee shop. And that's what I would do every morning. Every time I would go to a show and then come to work early. I can do it.
I just want to talk a little bit about your band is coming from like all over the country.
It's right? true. It's true. So we met at Musicians Institute. That's where we went to college. It was the band actually, did you want me, I'm assuming one of your questions was like, how did the band start?
Yeah, essentially.
So it started actually Taylor, my bass player and I, we tried to start a band with our former drummer and a friend of ours like years ago. Like Taylor hit me up. Like, I think you're a really great singer. It's funny because Musicians Institute is supposed to be contemporary music, but it's really hard to find people into like that kind of rock scene. It's a lot of like, which is, this isn't bad, but it's a lot of like 80s hair metal or like SoundCloud type stuff, which like is totally cool, just not my cup of tea. So it was honestly like, it's funny because I remember touring the school and there was tons of people that like were wearing band shirts. And then when I got there, it was really hard to find people into similar music, oddly enough. So she hit me up like, hey, I'd love to work with you on music. We actually were both like getting out of a bad situation with this girl we used to be friends with. And so we were kind of like in a similar headspace of like, screw her, let's do this without her type thing. And then we had our former drummer who was a friend of ours at the time. And we had another friend on guitar. His name's Liam. Shout out Liam. He's a good person. And it just didn't really work. Like we would just kind of mess around and it wasn't productive. And I would be coming from like 8-hour work shifts and we wouldn't even get started on like a cover. And I was just kind of frustrated with the productivity. So I was like, hey, I don't think I can do this anymore. Especially once I went back to school after taking a break, I was like, nah, maybe like revisit. Yeah. And then I took a YouTube class in the summer. I want to say it was 2018. So yeah, summer of 2018, I took like a YouTube class and our final was like, you have to put out a video. And I've never been like, oh, I'm going to be a solo artist. Like it was always, I want to be like fronting a band because I always had that Paramore idea in my head. And I wanted to be the front of a band. I don't like it being like the Devin show. Like it's never been my thing. And so I like put this band together. There was a guy, I put up a flyer looking for a guitarist because I didn't want just anyone. I wanted to like look at my options, maybe someone I didn't necessarily know. And then the same drummer I was talking about and then Taylor, and it was just us. And we did a Caught in the Middle cover of Paramore. And it was funny because we put it out and it wasn't like, oh, we're going to start a band and make this a real thing. It was like, we need a name to go with the YouTube channel. Like we have to put out this video. Like who is the video of, you know, like Devin Pop It All and Band was not what I wanted. So we just did random band generator, like, and picked Forever Emerald. Like, that wasn't even my song, like, my name choice. I didn't even, like, I wanted a different name, which we'll probably, I'm sure we'll use that name again because I think it's a good name. But, like, Forever Emerald was actually not my pick, and that's what got picked. So we put this YouTube video. I like it. It's just really hard because I feel like I can't change my hair for at least another year or two. You know what I mean? People really identify us in the band with my hair, which is cool. Like, I feel like that was Haley's thing for a long time when she had this red orange hair and it like basically changed emo forever. But like, I don't know.
You're stuck with green. I like my green. Yeah.
You know what? I've always liked consistency. Like I had red hair for a really long time. I had black hair for a really long time. Like I've always been one to keep my hair the same color. But moving on, we started with that. And then there's a showcase at MI. It's called the Artist Development Show. And you take a songwriting class for a quarter. And you have to write two songs, I think, two or three. And that's your final. And then that's like the prerequisite class to this show. And so all my friends had done the show and I hadn't yet. I didn't like believe in myself at all. I was like, I could never do that with a band. I could never like perform a song on my own on stage. That terrifies me. But I kind of like mustered up the courage. I was like, okay, we did this video. Like I'll just work on my songs with the band. Like that's kind of what I've always wanted, is to be in a band. And so we got together and then I just always thought Leah was really cool. Like I had always seen her on Instagram and I thought she was super cool and looked like she was a really good guitar player. I didn't really know I don't know much about guitar if I'm being honest, but like pop punk isn't like this crazy guitar stuff. Like it's pretty much the same sort of variations of the same chord progression. So I asked her if she wanted to join because I wanted a second guitarist because I feel like that kind of music needs some dual guitar action. And she kind of, they all sat together and they were like, we don't really mesh well with this other guitarist. So we actually separated from the original guy. And then we had a friend of ours step in for a little bit and he played the showcase with us. And it was just like very well received. I think the song sounded good. And I immediately was like already trying to book shows. Like, hey, we should keep doing this. And I guess not everyone was on the same page. So the other guitarist ended up leaving and Leah, I don't even know if she was 100% sure because she always kind of wanted to be like, she wanted to play music. She was really good. She, That's one thing about Leah. She toured with an American Idol finalist. I think his name was Dalton.
Oh, wow.
When she was like 17, because she's really into like the hired gun thing. You know, she's awesome. Like she'll learn the material and she'll play it. And she hadn't done a lot of writing. And then she just really enjoyed being in our band. So it stuck around. And we've been through a couple member changes since then, but that was kind of like the final cut was like, we did this show and it was like, well, people really like it. Like we didn't win the show, but it was like, people really like it. I think we should keep doing this. And it just kind of became something we kept doing. And it's been like a little over a year now. And I think we're doing pretty good.
Great. So how was the writing process for Safer Space?
So it was basically just like, we need more. We can't keep doing all these covers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the first two songs we actually wrote were Arts and Crafts and Candy. I wrote Arts and Crafts like 3 years ago, almost. It's been a song for a while. I wrote Candy not too long after that. I want to say like 6 or 7 months after. I'm queen of resurrecting old material. Like I will go back to my voice memos from like 2015 and be like, this is actually way better than anything I've written in a long time. And I will resurrect the melody. And a lot of it's just like, I have these melodies already written and recorded just from like being alone in my room. So I'll send them to the band. And it's a lot of like, that's why a lot of it's very, like, I like to say it's pop rock. Cause sure, it's like rock and there's breakdowns and there's proggy, like strummy stuff. But there's also a lot of just like, it's very to the melody because mm-hmm. we write around my vocal melodies. It's very rare that they have something musically written out already. It's like, I think we were doing that for the first time with one of the new songs that we're working on is like Brody had this riff and I was like, that actually worked with a song we've been trying to write for a while. So Safer Space was just like, we kept playing shows and getting asked to play these gigs. Like we weren't even like trying. We were just like getting hit up to play these gigs, which was awesome and super flattering, but we didn't have any songs besides those two. So it was like, we would do less and less covers over time. And it went Arts and Crafts and Candy in the showcase. We actually had a third song called Seasonal, which I really liked, but it was just a little slow, so we didn't really ever play it live and nothing ever happened with it. Our old drummer didn't really like it. I'd love to go back and resurrect it though. It was like,
I'd love to hear it.
I wrote it before I wrote Arts and Crafts and all them. It was kind of like I hadn't written a song in like a year, and that was like the song that broke the floodgates of creativity. But that was like our third song, and we didn't end up ever playing it live ever again besides that second round of the showcase. But and then we did Safer Space and Blame Game kind of came at the same time. Like, it was like, we need two more songs, guys. Like, we have a show at the end of the month. Let's write these two. And then So Sure, I think, was around, I think the first time we played it was in January of 2018. So last January. 2019. I guess it was the beginning of this year.
Last January, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it feels crazy long ago. But that was the first time we played So Sure. And yeah, it was just kind of over the span of time. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to sit down and record an EP. It was like, oh, we need songs for these live sets that we're getting asked to play all the time. And we should probably just write songs because if we want to be a band, that's what bands do.
Right, short of cover bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We actually had another song and it didn't make it on the EP, but we still play it all the time.
What song is that?
That song is called Run. And we're actually, I don't know when this is. When does this come out?
This is going to come out next Wednesday, so the 11th.
Yeah. So it'll be out by then. So we're putting out a live video for Run. Back when we were on tour in the fall, we did this live session with these awesome people at No Secret Shows. His name's Stevie. He runs it out of his house. I actually think he's moving, which is sad, but awesome house in the middle of like nowhere in Sacramento, cornfields and all. And we just recorded this awesome live session in his house. I was super sick. So I don't love how I sound, but I think it came out pretty cool. It's not like anyone has anything to compare it to because there's no recorded version out, which is kind of why I liked.
And you can run with that nasally sound if you need to.
Oh, yeah. It's just there's like literal voice cracks in it. And I'm just like, whatever, you know, whatever.
I bet you hear it more than anybody else.
Oh, I'm sure. Would. I'm sure. It was the day I got, like the day I woke up and was like, I'm sick. And then we had to go in and sing this. And it was funny because we went in going to do Blame Game and then we ended up doing Run and liking it more. So yeah, that's coming out in 2 days. So awesome. That'll be, by the time this comes out, we'll be able to say that video is out. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and we'll share it on our socials and everything.
Oh, yeehaw.
If you send me a link, I'll put it in the show notes.
But yeah, what we started with was the bands from all over, because we all went to MI and kind of everyone is from somewhere else. But Taylor and I are both from Southern California. She's from Orange County. I'm just like all over LA. I lived in the Ventura County area as well. Gio is from the San Fernando Valley as well, our drummer. And he's the only one that didn't go to Musicians Institute. He actually just found our Instagram ad when we were looking for a drummer and just auditioned. He's like, I think this will be fun. And he ended up leaving his old band and everything. It was kind of cool. It felt very special. And then Brody is from Texas, hence my yee-hawing. He's from Sanger, Texas. He's our little Southern belle. And then Leah is from right outside of Chicago in Oak Park, Illinois, which is funny because that's where my dad's from. But yeah, she is a great like Midwest. That's why I can't wait to go to the Midwest in Texas because like, oh, they have so many friends out there. It's going to be awesome.
Well, Stormy, we'll see you in the Midwest.
Oh, heck yeah. Where are you from the Midwest?
I'm in Southern Indiana. So like,
okay. I have family in Bloomington. I went to a family reunion there once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. It was a long time ago, but I was in Bloomington one time.
Bloomington's really cool. They have very good drink specials.
Humid. I got eaten alive. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So long ago. Crazy how time is.
It is actually amazing to me how often, Stormy, you end up talking to people about areas around you.
The Midwest is so big and
it's so big but so small.
Yeah.
At the same time, I feel like everyone knows everyone. Like, it's so funny because I've been on Twitter forever. Like, I'm, like, when I say I'm a scene kid and I used to be on Stan Twitter and, like, all that jazz, like, I mean it. Like, I started out, like, I had fan accounts. Like, I'm not afraid because, like, I've been wanting to do this forever. You know what I mean? Like, I had Stan accounts. Like, I had band accounts on Tumblr and Instagram. So I have friends that I made through that sort of thing where, like, I had a fan account and we became friends.
Us too.
So there's so many people that I'm friends with and they ended up, like, people that went to school with Leah in Chicago. Like, where I, when she joined the band, I remember posting and I had three people like, is that Leah? And I was like, how do you even know her? It was crazy. It was like people she went to high school with. So wild.
Yeah.
Such a small world.
So funny.
I feel like everywhere I go, I'm running into people I know nowadays, which is like a weird part of growing up because you just have so much history now.
Yeah, well, in the Midwest is so weird because like, especially in the city I live in, it's like a big town, small town. So like, it's technically a city, but everyone is so interconnected that like, if you post something on Facebook and you're like making a joke about something,
someone takes it personally.
Someone is like, hey, I know them. And I'm like, ooh.
I
forgot we live in Evansville.
Oh, geez.
It's just like
Evansville. What a name.
I also really like that because it's like you go to any bar and you know somebody there.
Community.
So it's, like,
it's good and bad. That's how MI is. This is a small, that's how it like was the problem was there was a lot of drama because it's a small school. So everyone knows everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I talk a lot. Let's do next question.
Oh, you're fine. I love it. I was just trying to figure out where I was on the list.
Me just like dissociating in real life.
No, see, that's, I told you before we started, I prefer having a conversation to me just.
It's more natural.
Exactly. I feel awkward when I don't get enough talking out of people. So I'm just like,
don't worry about me.
No, I love it. It's refreshing.
It's way more fun to just actually have a conversation than. Right. I'm sure it's more fun to listen to too, hopefully.
I always dread writing out because I'll come up with an outline for the whole show, right? And I dread writing out the questions because I'm like, I really don't want to follow this to a T, but sometimes it's necessary and you never know going in.
Who's going to make you work for it and who's going to talk.
Totally.
But I did want to talk about, do you have anything planned for the next few months or are you just going to kind of let it ride for...
Yeah, so we have a couple shows confirmed. I think we have three. But basically, like, we've been going nonstop show-wise. Like, we didn't take a break to write or record. Like, we were still, like, we were taking a break, but we still played, like, two shows during the recording process. Like, we've just been going nonstop, and it's really hard to write new material when you're also trying to rehearse for gigs, like, and you're trying to fine-tune live performance. We've had like a good handful of songs ready to be written and it's just like there was no time because we had to prepare because it's different, you know, it's a DIY thing. You're not with a label that's routing your tour for you and giving you everything, like, which is like obviously the dream, but that's not where we're at right now. I booked every date of the tour except for our kickoff because Dive at Dawn are from Orange County, so they got that one. I talked to every promoter. I put every band on the lineup. Like, it was a lot of work for months and funding, and we still ended up getting kind of screwed in different like places, like van wise and just venue wise, and it was an awesome learning experience, but I got very sick and it was just like we came back and we played a show the next weekend and the weekend after that, and it was just like we were very burnt out. So I think it's really healthy that we're going to be taking a break from shows for a little bit at least in like the immediate LA area. Like, we don't have anything booked in LA until March.
That gives you, some nice, like, holiday time.
Because it's also just, like, we are driving, because I don't know if you guys know Southern California very well.
Not well.
But, no. So, everyone always is like, oh, we're in LA, and then they're in Orange County by Disneyland, which is, like, 2.5 hours away, at least with traffic. And it's, like, we are going out there multiple times a month, back and forth, gas money, 2 different cars and gear. It's expensive, and it's, like, money I'd love to put forth towards touring, because, like, when it came to recording and stuff, we actually did a GoFundMe because we were such a new band and it was like, we don't have anyone, we didn't have merch yet. So it was like, this will really help us record, you know, and get everything done. So we had a little bit of a fun, but this time going in, it's really out of our own pockets, which is the, it feels like integrity, you know what I mean? Like, it feels right, but it's still like, oof, bills and music.
Yeah, it's not easy in your early 20s to begin with.
No. And it's like, hopefully taking this break from shows will save us a little money because we're not eating out every time we're going and we're not, you know, having to buy waters and having to pay for gas and blah, 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 you know?
No, that makes sense. No, good for you.
So it'll be really nice because I was like, and I'm never like, I'm always excited for the show. Like, I'm always pumped. I love, because I don't really like see people that much. I really spend time with my boyfriend and the band and that's kind of it. For me, because I live in an area, I don't have a car where like there's like easy public transport. So I go to work and I work 5 days a week. And then we usually have a show 1 day a week. And that's like my social life. 1 day to decompress. I'll usually even pick up a shift. So it's like, it'll be nice to like try and be social. Like, I'm going to a show tonight. Like, I probably wouldn't normally do that, but like, it's not like we have rehearsal or anything. Like, we're writing, which is cool. Cause like, I miss feeling creative. Cause I love our songs, but like, it becomes redundant. And I'd love to have something to switch out the set list instead of trying to mix up the order of the same 5 or 6 songs, you know?
Yeah, it works your brain a little bit.
Yeah. And like, I think our songs are great, but it doesn't even feel like I wrote them anymore, if that makes sense. Like, we've just played them so many times, it feels like someone else's song, which I think it'll be good to take a break and come back and be like, oh, I still really like this, you know? Because I genuinely believe in our songs. Like, I think they're good. Like, and thank you. And it takes a lot for me to say that because I was always so insecure. Like, I would never show anyone my music. And like, it's been a big, I think, and I hate to like contribute all the success, but me doing that Paramore thing like pushed me to be like, okay, I should really try this.
Yeah. So no, Stormy texted me right before we had you on. And do you mind if I read what you?
Oh, no, that's fine.
Sent me. Outing you for not paying attention to what I tell you, but
well, you told me 2 days ago and I just looked it up right before, and then anyway, doesn't matter.
She said, I forgot who they were. I love this band. 3 exclamation points.
That's so sweet, guys. No, and it's crazy because we're friends with the guys in Between You and Me, and I don't know if you know of them. They're on Hopeless. Yeah. They're an Australian band. So they're currently on tour with Dollskin and with Confidence and Seaway. Awesome stack tour, super great. They're killing it. And so we were with them the first couple days before they left on tour. And we went to go see them, and there was someone staring at Taylor and I in the crowd. And I was like, oh gosh, do I know this girl? Like, am I like being super rude? And she goes, I'm like a huge fan of your band. And I was just like, what? Like, are you sure? My band?
You're like, I'm really brilliant.
And I was like, and then, again, this was like, we had a show that night. So we were at that venue at Chain to see them, and then literally going back to our venue to play our show. Because we wanted to say goodbye to them. And I was not in a good place at all. And I was, like, trying so hard to be present. And I was just like, oh, that's so nice. Like, wow. Like, if I was ever feeling weird about this place in my life, like, that was really refreshing. And she ended up coming to a show over the weekend. And it was just buying merch. And it's just like, wow, that was me. And that's so crazy that someone, like, feels that way about my band.
Aw.
That's awesome. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
It's super wild. You know, it's really sweet. And it's crazy. Because, like, I get down on myself a lot. Like, because when you're running the band, it's like, and you am I making the right decisions? Like, when it's 5 young kids, we have Taylor at Springboard, who got us this awesome thing. Like, he's been helping me a lot. He's sometimes just like, just call me if you're ever just stressed. Because, like, I overthink. And I stress the band out because I overthink. Because I'm like, I have all these plans for the next 2 years. And they're just like, that's a lot. Like, can we focus on the next 6 months? And I'm like, I mean, I guess.
But what
it just keeps me up. It keeps me up at night, you know? And so he's awesome. Shout out Taylor. Cause like, I'll just call him and be like, Taylor, I'm freaking out for no reason. Help me. So
I think you would fit in well with the group that we have going here.
Nice.
That's I'm the band way. And Elena is you in that scenario.
Like, awesome. I have this idea, and I have this idea, and I have this idea. I was like, why don't we just do, like, this right now?
How long have you guys been doing this podcast?
Almost a year now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, the episodes are available. We did end up taking off anything prior to, like, June.
Yeah.
It was not the same show.
You gotta keep it new.
Yeah,
it was a little hiatus in the middle too, just to refresh and figure out what we actually were trying to do with the podcast instead of.
It was awkward. We started pretty much. We were just covering news and new releases, and we never had anybody on.
We had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah, it was.
So this is kind of wild. What we were talking about, right? So did it flip? Can you see? So my friend just texted me this with "I love your songs," and it's like her Spotify premium stuff. I don't know if you can read it. I'll flip it back to me and I'll just read it. It says, you discovered 277 new artists this year, but you really vibed with Forever Emerald. You explored 5 of their songs, listened to their album, and spent over 5 hours with them, which is just crazy because this is like one of my internet friends who I've never met. And
that's so awesome.
Friends since she was like 12. So that's just crazy that this all happened.
Oh, that's awesome.
At the same, like, just coincidental.
Well, and I wanted to ask you, so what's your favorite experience that's come from the band so far?
That's really rough. Honestly, our release show was pretty cool. And, like, it's one of those things where I think I would really succeed in, like, putting other shows together that we are not necessarily playing. Because I really love just vibing with other bands that I think would be cool together on a lineup, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, being like, oh, I love this band. I don't necessarily think we should play with them. But, like, I know this other band that would be a super cool bill. Because I put that lineup together, and this is an example, so... of, like, what we were talking about before we started recording, I think, with, like, locals, is, like, I wanted to put Hoity Toity on the lineup. If you don't know of Hoity Toity, you should check them out. Awesome. All-girl band. Super great people. And I hit them up to play our release show, and they were like, we're actually going to be on tour, but you should check out this band. And the band they ended up was Chase Petra. And Chase Petra are, like, a band that I listen to on the daily. So good. And, like, I fell in love with them because they played that show. And so we got to put that show together. It was them, Sink In, a local band called Haunted, and I said Sink In. Chase Petra. Oh, my gosh. Who else? Every Other Year, who we just played with over the weekend. Oh, my gosh. And, like, we put the show together, and it was, like, the most successful show we've ever had, like, ticket sales-wise. Because it was, like, it was at an active skate shop in Burbank. So it was, like, tons of foot traffic, just people coming in randomly because they hear music in a skate shop, which is super crazy. And that was a really great experience.
So cool.
And it was, like, our release show. It was, like, the day the EP came out, and we had balloons everywhere, and the skate shop shut down super early for us. And, like, we had all these cool shots overhead because there was, like, a balcony, and we had, like, local artists come and, like, present art. Like, on the balcony, we had, like, artists set up with merch, and then we had the bands downstairs so people could watch from the balcony and the stairs, and there was, like, we were also supporting, like, non-musical art, which I think is awesome. We made some really great friends through that and some awesome connections, so that was a really cool moment, I would have to say. Tour 2 was, like, insane. Like, I didn't think we would be touring within the first year. Sacramento was crazy. Leah got on our photographer James's shoulders during Dive at Dawn's set. And they were, like, going insane. I think I recently just posted a picture on the band account from it. It's pretty funny. And it was just, like, watching everyone kind of unleash and just, like, we're away from home and we still have people that know our songs and buy our merch and, like, are interested, which was super cool. Just, like, that whole experience all around. Despite the fact that I wasn't in the best headspace and physical being, it was still just, like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I can't even imagine. That's awesome.
That was wild. Yeah.
So you've kind of touched on this already, but if we were to visit Los Angeles, which venues would we have to visit and which bands should we keep an eye on from out there?
So I'm going to be real. LA's venues are kind of whack. it's weird because it's supposed to be this music city, but it's kind of, and that was the thing about MI is it's like, it's a melting pot. Everyone is a transplant. No one is from there. It's very rare that you meet someone that was born and raised in LA. They're always from somewhere. They're all doing every single type of music under the sun, and there's not really any venue that's like, oh, this is a punk venue or this is a rock venue. There are a lot of them are 21 plus. It's just crazy, you know, it's just like really hard to find. There's some good ones. There's Room 41, which is in Burbank. It's like a music school. So it's interesting. There's the Guitar Merchant, which is interesting as well. Also like a music, like they do after school music lessons, but then there's like a showroom where I'm sure like kind of like a school of rock type thing. There's CIA is cool. That's like a spooky, it's like California Institute of Abnormal Arts, and it's like,
oh, neat.
There's like a giant clown head out front, and the whole place is spooky all year round. But it's also recently become 21 plus, which is a drag, because a lot of people that listen to our music are not 21, which is like, we just turned 21, so how could they be? You know, mostly we play Orange County. I mean, program Skate and Sound is getting a new sound system soon, which is awesome because they deserve it. It's like a skate shop that holds music shows. Stick to Your Guns has played there. Some bigger names have played there. It's awesome. Beatnik Bandito is cool. It's a smaller space, kind of dark, but it's like very authentic record shop that also holds music shows. And then FTG is a new spot, and that's like probably one of my favorite places to play. I wish more people would come out to those shows because it's just kind of new and unknown. But yeah, that's like a warehouse that they used to be a recording studio, and now they do both. They do shows, and there's a stage, and there's a Pac-Man machine, and a bunch of couches. Like, there's actually a chill space. They sell beer, but it's all ages. Like, you just have to show your ID type thing. So yeah, it's super cool. Very vibey. But mostly Orange County, I would say. Like, not a ton in L.A. There's Rock City Studios, which we've yet to play, but I attended a couple really cool shows there growing up, which is near my neck of the woods in Camarillo. And then bands-wise, Chase Petra, I'm going to plug them, because I love them. It's Butter is definitely like a band. As a band, we love It's Butter. That's our friends Britta, Diego, and Johnny, and they went to MI as well with us. Amazing musicians. Check them out. Hit them up. I think they're recording some new music right now as well. It's Butter. They're the best. Every other year from Orange County, they're like a little younger, and they kill it. I have to be biased and shout out my boyfriend's band, HQPM, because they're going to put out a song this weekend. And they've been a band for like a decade, and they're like only getting to put out music now just because of life. And they're insane. They're some of the best musicians out there. God, I don't want to forget anyone. We play with some awesome bands. There's the Nuke Proofs. That is Brody's other band. They're a little, like, dive bar, like desert rock punk. They're awesome. Gosh, so many people that we love. Martini Drive are really cool. We only have played with them recently, but they're really cool. Yeah, I'm forgetting so many, but those are like the ones that come off on the top of my head locally.
Well, here's the thing. If you remember any, then you can send them my way and I'll shout them out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chase Petra, Butter, HQPM. Who else did I say? And every other year, and the Nuke Proofs, I'm going to say are our homies. That like, it's just like good to see them. There's Half Measure. They're pretty cool people. Very nice guys. But yeah, there's just some bands that we play with a lot.
I've got a couple of random questions for you before
sure,
we let you go.
Sure, let's do it.
What was your favorite ever Warped set?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. That's so hard. I went, 2016, I went to Warped 5 dates. That was like my grad present, was I did the whole like Pacific Northwest and California.
That's so awesome.
I missed Vegas though. And that was like, of course, the set where Knuckle Puck had a mosh pit in the pool and I missed it. And I'm still so mad. The Word Alive in 2016 at Mountain View was super cool. I just think the Bay Area gets down. Like, they really know how to have a good time. So that was really... The Word Alive are a great live band. I'm, like, not super familiar with their new stuff, but I was very into them. With Confidence, I saw them every date of tour. I want to say all the SoCal dates when I was, like, with all my, like, friends that I go to shows with. It's not... Can it not be a Warped Tour set? Can it be
yeah,
a
non? That's fine.
So Issue's headliner in 2014, they played the House of Blues in LA before it closed down. And they played like every song under the sun that they had out at the time, because they only had like two albums. They didn't even have two albums. They had an album and an EP out at the time. And they played The Settlement, which is like a really heavy song about divorce. And it's like my favorite song of theirs.
So good.
And I saw Tonight Alive, the first Warped Tour I ever went to. And they played Amelia, which is, I don't know if you know that song, but it's a heartfelt ballad about a friend that died. And that year I had a friend that died. So it was very, actually the girl I was talking about that introduced me to Paramore, she passed away that year. So it was very like emotional for me, I think, if I'm talking emotion. And then I also got to see Bring Me the Horizon, and that was the first time they'd played California since Sempiternal came out. And I thought I was going to die because I lost a shoe. Everyone was going ham. It was my first time being in a metalcore crowd. I thought I was going to die. But yeah, those are like, I think I named five. Those are my top five sets.
Yeah. Awesome. Amelia was the first time I ever cried during a live set, because I also had a friend that died like that past year, and we saw him at Warped, and it was just, insane.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I cried every show I ever went to for the first like 10 or 15 shows I went to. Like, I found a song to cry to every time, because it was like the only good thing in my life was going to shows and being in choir, because I just hated school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow, I don't know that I've ever cried at a live set.
Wow, what's that?
You need to. It's very therapeutic.
I'm pretty sure I've cried during our, yeah, like, rehearsals. Hit me with another question before we get too sad. That's,
I am not a crier.
Like, it's like crying in the middle of a show where, like, people are, like, all around you, and for some reason you are just feeling it so much.
You're feeling it hard.
It's just, it's very therapeutic.
I have some good stories. I hope we get to do another one of these podcasts next release with the whole band, because I feel bad that they're not here. It's just during the holidays, it's so hard to get everyone in the same room.
Yeah.
All right. I have one more question for you.
Okay.
And it's, like I said, random as fuck. What specific candy do you have in mind when you're performing the song?
Oh, geez. So it's funny, because candy is not really about candy. It's about a person, obviously. But it's just funny, that whole song. The way that song has been received is so funny, because everyone wants to think it's about, like, a dating relationship, but it's totally not. But I'm never going to, like, tell people, because I want people to think about it as they're, like, you never want to tell someone what the song is about, because then they're like, oh, well, it meant this to me, because it shouldn't have to change that, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think finding out what a song's about really changes it for some people, which sucks, but, like, that's fair enough, you know? You connect to it for a reason. Gosh, I love Hi Chew. That's really the only candy I eat on a religious basis, is Hi Chew Japanese chewy candy.
You're so good.
I have like a big pack in my pantry right now. super stale from Walmart, but still juicy.
They sell them at our gas station down the road, so every once in a while I'll just drive over there and grab some and come back home.
So bad. It's so, like, I'll get the big one and my boyfriend will be like, is that empty? And I'm like, embarrassed, because, like, I will finish a whole thing. I have horrible teeth, so I can't really do, like, chocolate, but I'm going to say Hi Chew. Maybe, like, dots, because I know not everyone loves them, but I love them. I'm a gummy girl.
We're a dots family here too. I get it.
We love and support dots.
It's a good choice. I was kind of hoping you'd go with something fruity over chocolatey. I don't know why.
I'm not really a chocolatey person.
It's the banana candy in our blood streams.
I don't know about banana.
We're the only people in our friend group that like banana candy, so we
only hardcore people in our life. I have never
let's met get, another let's person. Let's keep it that way. Yeah. Don't need no more of y'all around. Okay.
More friends.
Yeah, take it all. Take it all. Please take the lemon ones too.
Oh, I love.
Well, this was so fun. Thank you for having me. This really, like, I was feeling so kind of weird from work. But thank you, guys. It's always nice to talk to human beings. Well, I feel very isolated often, because I come home and just watch Victorious reruns.
Aw.
Because they just put it on Nickelodeon. But yeah.
It was super nice to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys. Thank you for having me. And thank you for considering Forever Emerald, because we're hoping this year will be our year. We're hoping to do more tours if we can afford to take off work. And
look, we love you a lot. I've been listening to you for the last 3 days.
Oh, my God. That means so much to me.
When I found your EP, so nice. I actually was on, like, my new, because I do a new music day every week where I just listen to stuff. And I actually listened to yours, like, 4 times before I moved on to something else, because I loved it so much. So you guys are great.
Guys, that's so nice. I really hope you'll like the new stuff, because we're trying to take in a little bit of a different direction after
I'm
this EP. I think we're going to, this is not, I mean, I can't make any promises, but I think this EP will kind of be our last, like, pop punky one. We'll have another weird track in there to throw you off, like Blame Game and Arts and Crafts. But after that, I think we're gonna go in a little bit of a different direction. So I hope you'll stick around and watch us progress.
I promise we'll still dig it. Evolution and new stuff. So
we'll talk about that all the time. Can you just shout out your socials real quick?
So yes. Twitter is the only one that we are not Forever Emerald Band. We are Forever Emerald Band on Instagram and Facebook, and our email is foreveremeraldband@gmail.com. Our website is foreveremeraldband.com. Everything is Forever Emerald Band, but for some reason, someone on Twitter decided that they are Forever Emerald Band, so we are _ForeverEmerald on Twitter.
Great.
And we have a newsletter, our website, we have, like, a street team, so whoever listens and maybe wants to get involved and help spread the word, we also have that, so that's really cool.
Awesome.
Well, right. I hope you guys have a good night. I'm signing out.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, I hope I do, too.
You will.
Good night. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.